Nights tuned to Yesterday, bringing you shows from radio's golden age. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levionier. In this hour, sitcoms. Later on, we hear the very funny Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, but now a classic, It's Father Knows Best, from March 26, 1953, on NBC. At this point in the series, it had been on the air for about 4.5 seasons and was featured on NBC's Thursday nights at 8:30. Over 6.5 million people tuned into this broadcast, known as the Uninsured Robin.
Well known to bird lovers that any self-respecting robin flies south for the winter. And if he has any judgment at all, he stays south until things blow over up north. A robin who violates this attractive scheme is bound to be suspect. And it is also a good bet that he will disorganize everything in his vicinity. If you don't believe that, let me cite a case involving a certain family living in a white frame house on Maple Street. It is a cold March evening with little activity outdoors, but much indoors, as the various members of the Anderson family are milling around the kitchen, preparing to depart for various destinations. Like this.
Kathy, if you're going over to Patty's house tonight, you'd better get upstairs and change your clothes.
In a minute, Mommy.
No, you'd better do it now. Don't just stand there staring out the window.
There's a bird out there.
Well, that's a fairly normal place for a bird. When you go upstairs, tell Bud not to wear those disreputable-looking blue jeans when he goes over to Joe Phillips' house.
He's standing on one leg.
Bud is?
No, that little bird out there. I'll bet he's trying to keep warm. I'd better bring him in the house.
No, Angel. Birds are made to stand cold weather.
Can I get him a hot water bottle to sit on?
No. Now, please, go upstairs.
Margaret, I don't believe I can wear this tuxedo tonight. Do I have to wear it?
Well, when Mrs. Kirby invited us, she said the other men were going to wear them.
I wonder whose fool idea that was.
Personally, I think they look nice. Makes a man look dressed up.
Yes, but there's a little matter of comfort. These trousers are too tight in the waist.
Hmm. Well, you know whose fault that is.
I think the cleaners shrunk them.
Oh, sure.
Gee, Mommy. He looks sort of out of shape.
I do not.
I think she's referring to a bird.
A bird?
Mm-hmm.
There's a robin out there, and he's freezing, Daddy.
A robin? There are no robins around this time of year. It's too early.
Come here and look at him.
Why, it'll be another month and a half before... Well, by George, that is a robin.
See there? Can I bring him inside and get him warm?
No, he's all right.
He looks kind of lonesome out there. Can I bring him in, just so we'll have some company?
Oh, I doubt if he's a very good conversationalist. Margaret, what would happen if I didn't wear this tux?
Oh, wear it, Jim. You look fine in it. Besides, I don't think it'll hurt you to suffer a little. It's not often we have a chance to get out and have some fun and relax.
Yeah, if I relax in this outfit, there'll be buttons flying all over the place. I better wear something else.
No, wear that.
Well, you'll have to find my shirt studs, then.
Well, just a minute. I'll find them just as soon as I finish pressing Betty's dress.
She going out tonight, too?
Ralph is taking her to some kind of a concert.
Ralph?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
probably going to take her to the drugstore to listen to the jukebox.
No, this is quite a highbrow affair, I guess. Ralph has convinced her that classical music is the only thing in life worth living for.
I wonder how long that will last. I remember modern art had a fast day-and-a-half run. Persian philosophy lasted 2 days, and archaeology was dropped cold after a couple of hours when they discovered that the ancient bones they had found had been buried by a dog the day before.
Mother, is my dress ready?
Just about, Betty.
Ralph will be here soon.
Well, it's almost ready.
I think I'll wear your blue taffeta instead.
I'm wearing that.
Would you have to take it up much for me?
Betty, Ralph will be here soon.
That's what I like. Good, brilliant conversation. Kathy, maybe you should bring that bird in here for a chat after all.
Oh, thank you, Daddy.
No, kitten. I was only kidding.
Look, Daddy, he doesn't fly away. I can pick him up.
Kathy, how many times do I have to tell you to go upstairs and change your clothes?
Look, Daddy, he likes me.
Kathy.
You know, he looks like Mr. Quigley at the drugstore.
Mr. Quigley?
Just a little fuzz on top of his head.
Well, yes, there is a resemblance. Same shaped legs.
Kathy!
Okay, Mommy. Here, Daddy, you hold Mr. Quigley.
Well, now, wait, I don't want... By George, he does seem awfully cold.
Where do you think we ought to keep him?
Oh, I don't know. He's probably better off outside, I guess.
We can't put him out, Daddy.
Kathy, honey, you've just got to get your clothes changed if you're going over to Patty's.
Well, I don't think I'm going.
What?
I've got to stay home and take care of Mr. Quigley.
Well, you can't stay here alone. And everyone else is going out.
I won't be alone. Mr. Quigley will be here.
Well, put Mr. Quigley in a shoebox or something, and then run upstairs, and don't forget to tell Bud to wear his good slacks.
What's this about wearing good slacks?
Oh, I don't want you to go over to the Phillips looking like a tramp.
But, Mom, Joe and I are going to be down in his basement working.
Working?
Yeah, we're going to build a... For Pete's sake, what's that you got, Dad?
This is Mr. Quigley.
Huh?
Will this box do, Mommy?
I guess so.
I better put some cotton in it to make it nice and warm.
Well, I'm not too sure if it's good for a bird to be inside like this.
But he's sick, Daddy.
Oh, maybe he's just hungry.
Try some breadcrumbs on Mr. Quigley.
Mr. Quigley? Holy cow, this whole family has slipped its way.
You're just finding that out?
I'm getting out of here while the getting is good.
Now, wait, Bud. You can't go looking like that.
But, Mom, I'll wreck my good slacks. We're going to build a boat tonight.
A boat? What kind of a boat?
A 28-foot sloop.
Don't you have to build that out of doors?
Well, we thought of that, but the light's better in the basement. We got the plans for it out of the Boy Mechanics magazine.
And you plan to build this boat tonight?
Yeah, if I ever get over there early enough.
Uh-huh.
We're going to sail around the world in it this summer.
What day are you leaving?
July 5th. We didn't want to miss out on the 4th of July.
I see. Got everything all planned out, huh?
Yep. Going to take 2 weeks of the trip.
2 weeks? To sail around the world?
Yeah. We don't want to rush it. After all, a guy doesn't make a trip around the world very often.
Not in 2 weeks, he doesn't.
Mother!
It's just about finished, Betty.
I decided not to wear your blue taffeta.
You never were going to wear it.
It makes me look too corny.
What's Tallulah getting made up for?
What do you think I ought to wear?
This dress I've been pressing for the last half hour.
Well, I gotta get going. Joe's waiting for me. Hey, Shrimp, what are you doing?
Putting peanut butter on the breadcrumbs. Maybe Mr. Quigley doesn't like his bread plain.
Oh, brother, what a bird brain. And I'm not talking about Mr. Quigley.
Come on, Quiggy, eat.
Here, you're doing that all wrong. Just sprinkle the crumbs in front of him and then go away and leave him alone.
Hey, that's a good idea. That'll give you time to get your clothes changed, Kathy.
But I'm not going, Mommy.
Oh, yes, you are.
Claude Mentioner said they had a sick bird once in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And they fed him with an eyedropper.
How could you get breadcrumbs down an eyedropper?
They were feeding him milk, knothead.
All right, let's not start an argument. We haven't time.
Hey, it is getting late. What time are we supposed to be at the Kirby's?
7:30, I think.
Then you better start getting ready, Margaret.
Well, I'm trying to get everyone else squared away first.
You were going to find those studs for me, too.
Yes, dear, I know, I know.
Mother, do you think this dress makes me look cultural enough? You know, in a sort of subdued chamber music mood.
Yes, I'd say you look like a subdued chambermaid in that outfit.
Oh, Father. Betty, I thought you asked me to press this dress for you.
Did I? Hey, Betty, do you know where an eyedropper is? We want to squirt some milk into Mr. Quigley.
What?
You don't squirt it in him, Shrimp. You just drip it down his beak.
What in the world are you two clowns? Oh, where'd you get the robin?
He's mine. Oh, he's cute.
What's the matter with him? Doesn't he feel well?
Well, I doubt if he could pass the physical for the Air Force right now.
You know, I think that's the robin that had her nest right outside the breakfast room window last summer. Remember?
Her nest?
Remember, she had some little robins and we used to watch her feeding them.
Watch her feeding them?
You might have to change his name to Mrs. Quigley. Will everyone please clear out of the kitchen? We'll never get ready if we don't. Here, Betty, your dress is ready. I don't care whether you wear it or not. And, Kathy, you go upstairs and get your clothes
changed. But I'm not going, Mommy. I've got to take care of Mrs. Quigley.
But I told you, you can't stay home alone.
Well, I might just sort of stick around with her.
I thought you were going to build a boat tonight.
Well, we could build it tomorrow night. After all, we're not sailing until July 5th.
Gee, she won't eat crumbs off my finger.
Well, that's why I figured maybe I better stick around and feed her. We got to get some food into this kid.
I think maybe you're handling her too much. Maybe she just wants to rest.
You know, it looks to me like its wing is hurt. That's probably why she didn't go south for the winter.
Oh, gosh, that's Ralph out there. I wonder if I should go.
Well, certainly. You want to go to the concert, don't you?
Yes, I guess so. Ralph says that classical music isn't as bad as it sounds, but I don't know.
Well, you mustn't keep him waiting, Betty.
Well, all right. I'll see you later, Mother. Goodbye, Father.
Goodbye, Princess.
Jim, we've just got to get going or we'll be late.
Yeah, I know. Is she eating any more, Kathy?
Not yet.
Well, we've got to hurry, Margaret.
Yes, you're right. Is there anything you can do about that wing?
I was just wondering if we could fix up some kind of a splint for it.
Good heavens, look at the time. We should have been at the Kirby's 10 minutes ago. I'd better call them.
Yes, do that.
Tell them we'll be a little late.
No, tell them to go ahead without us.
What?
Tell them something important has come up, but we'll try to get there later on. Bud, go look in the medicine cabinet. See if you can find an eyedropper.
Well, events at the Andersons have taken a strange turn this blustery March evening. A few minutes ago, everyone was getting ready to go out. And then, Kathy discovered a robin huddled outside the kitchen window. How do things stand now? Well, Betty tore herself away to go to the concert. Margaret and Jim and Bud and Kathy are staying home. The nurse, Mrs. Quigley. That's the robin. Right now, head doctor, Jim Anderson, is trying to interest the bird in some nourishment by means of an eyedropper and a teaspoon of warm milk. Like this.
Turn the shoebox around, kitten. I think the light's bothering her.
Like that?
Yeah, that's better. Now, come on, bird. Open your mouth.
Daddy, her name is Mrs. Quigley.
Open your beak, Mrs. Quigley.
Dear, are you sure robins like milk?
Certainly. All animals drink milk. Best nourishment there is. Come on, Mrs. Q. Look up here.
Watch it, Dad. Don't drop it in her eye.
Quiet, Bud. I fed birds with an eyedropper before you were born.
Okay, okay. So far, you've given her 3 drops of milk, all on top of her head.
There. She drank that one.
She doesn't look very happy about it.
Maybe she'd rather have postum.
I think she's beginning to perk up a little. She opened one eye.
She looked at Bud and closed it again.
Well, it's bedtime for you, Angel.
Oh, no, Mommy. I can't leave Mrs. Quigley.
Well, we'll take care of Mrs. Quigley. You run along, kitten.
But I'll worry about her.
She moved her tail feathers.
There's no need to worry about her, kitten. She'll be all right.
Are you sure?
Yes, of course. Now, run to bed. Scoot.
Good night, Mrs. Quigley.
Don't touch her. She's asleep.
How do you know?
Well, I heard her kind of snoring.
A snoring bird.
Well, I did. Kind of.
All right. Now run up to bed, Angel.
She doesn't look too good.
Well, she's tired, kitten, and she's warm and comfortable. Probably wants to go to sleep. Come on, I'll take you upstairs.
Okay. Take good care of Mrs. Quigley.
Don't worry, Shrimp. We'll watch her.
I'll be up in a minute to tuck you in.
You think she'll be all right, Daddy?
Sure. Up the stairs now.
She's my very own bird, isn't she?
Yes, she's your very own.
Maybe we ought to put a dish of water in the box. She might get thirsty.
We'll take care of her. Now, get in your pajamas and climb in bed.
But what if something happens to her?
Nothing will happen. Now, you just stop worrying.
You sure?
I promise.
Gee, thanks, Daddy. You promise?
Well, yes, I promise.
Oh, boy, tomorrow she'll be singing and hopping around. My very own bird.
Well, now, kitten, I meant that I,
Will she stand on my finger and sing, Daddy?
Well, we'll see. It depends.
I gotta hurry and get to sleep so I can hurry and wake up. Good night, Daddy.
Good night, kitten.
Say good night to Mrs. Quigley for me.
I will. Good night.
Good night.
Jim.
I'm coming. Where are you, honey?
We're in the den.
How's Mrs. Quigley?
Looks pretty droopy. We brought her in here. Thought it might be warmer.
What do you think, dear?
I don't know. But somehow we've got to pull this bird through, Margaret. Before I thought, I promised Kathy.
Dear, you didn't.
Well, she was worried, and I had to tell her something.
Lucky thing we got the bird in. She'd have frozen out in that wind.
The question is whether we got her in soon enough.
Well, dear, I hope you've read your bird books. Kathy's counting on you.
Well, what else could I do, Margaret? This is the first live pet she's ever had. I wonder if it would help any if we put a hot water bottle under the box.
Well, she's warm enough, all right. She just looks droopy.
Margaret, what are those smelling salts you used to have around?
I think Mrs. Quigley needs more than smelling salts.
Daddy, how is she?
She's all right, kitten. Now go to sleep.
I think I'll call up Joe. He had a parrot once.
Oh, what a person goes through to bring up children. You not only have to be a diplomat and a pediatrician and a magician and a psychologist, you also have to be a bird doctor.
Well, dear, it was your idea to stay home and take care of the bird.
Well, what else could I do?
Hello, Joe. Bud, I couldn't come over tonight. Oh, we got a bird. No, not a parrot. Sick robin. Kathy found it outside. Hey, what did you do with your parrot when he drooped? Yeah?
What'd he say, Bud?
He says he held the cat up to the cage, made the parrot soar, perked right up.
Oh, for goodness sake. Hang up.
Joe, we don't have a cat. No cage, either.
Daddy, is there a cat down there?
No, kitten. Bud's talking to Joe. Now go to sleep.
How's Mrs. Quigley?
She's all right. Now get back in bed.
Okay, Joe, I'll keep in touch with you.
What's Joe's opinion?
He said if he was in our shoes, he'd be worried.
Well, that's what I like about Joe, always ready to help. Well, what do you think, Margaret? Do you suppose I should call the vet?
Now, don't get upset, dear.
Oh, sure, that's easy for you to say. I'm personally responsible for this bird. We've got to do something.
Hey, she ruffled her feathers.
I think she's waking up. Get the milk and the spoon and the eyedropper. Here, Bert. Wake up. Get the phone, huh? Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Hello, Mother?
Betty, where are you? It's Betty.
Who's that, Daddy?
It's Betty. Now go back to bed, Angel.
Hello?
Hello, dear.
I'm calling from the auditorium. How's Miss Quigley?
Well, she's just about the same.
Should I come home?
Daddy said she was all right.
She is, Angel. She is.
She is what?
I was talking to Kathy.
Is Kathy still up?
No, she's in bed, or supposed to be.
You sound worried, Mother. I think I'll come home.
Oh, there's no need to, Betty. There's nothing you can do.
I'll leave right now. I'll be home in a little while.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
What did Betty say?
She's coming home.
Get some more cotton, Bud. Let's pad the sides of the box a little.
Did you eat anything?
I don't know, honey. I'm afraid Mrs. Quigley's in bad shape. Just shakes her head once in a while.
Such a pretty bird.
I don't know what to do. If anything happens to her, Kathy will be heartbroken.
Look out. Here comes the shrimp.
How is she, Daddy?
Now, kitten, why aren't you in bed?
I couldn't go to sleep. I'm worried about Mrs. Quigley.
You mustn't worry, Angel.
Is she gonna live, Daddy?
Well, I don't know, kitten. We're doing everything we can.
You said she'd be all right.
I know, but sometimes you just can't tell.
Maybe if I took her up to bed with
me. No. She's better right here in the box.
Could I hold her?
I think you'd better leave her there, kitten. She's resting.
She's gonna be okay, Shrimp.
Come on, Angel. I'll tuck you back in bed.
Take care of her, Daddy.
I will, kitten. Don't you worry.
Gee, she sure looks droopy, Dad.
I don't know what to do, Bud.
Well, could we give her artificial respiration?
I doubt it. Give me the phone, Bud.
Who are you going to call?
Dr. Evans. He raises birds. I can't think what else to do. Hello, Ed. This is Jim Anderson, Ed. I've got a real problem. No, the family's all right, but we've got a bird in here. Robin, Kathy found outside. Yes, it looks pretty sick. I want to pull it through, if possible, for Kathy's sake. You understand?
Who are you talking to, dear?
Dr. Evans. Well, it ate a little, but it doesn't seem to have much life. There isn't, huh? Well, thanks anyway, Ed. Good night.
What did he say, Dad?
He says there's nothing we can do. A wild bird. He said we'll just have to wait and see.
Poor Kathy. She's up in her bed, wide awake. Is that you, Betty?
Yes, I'm home. How is she? Any change?
Can't tell, Princess.
Dad just talked to Dr. Evans.
What did he say?
Well, to be truthful, there isn't much hope.
Well, there must be something somebody can do. Is she worse, Daddy?
Oh, kitten.
I couldn't stay in bed. Hello, Mrs. Quigley.
Angel.
She doesn't move, Mommy.
Well, she's sleeping, dear.
That's the best thing for her, Kathy. Sleep. Will she wake up?
Sure. Sure she will.
You must go to bed, Angel.
Mommy?
Yes, dear.
Could I say my prayers down here?
Well, I guess so.
Before I sleep, I pray God will keep us close to him. Shelter and guide us in the night and the day. And if you could, please, God, help Mrs. Quigley. She's a good bird. Thank you, God. Amen.
Margaret, what time is it?
I don't know.
Sun's shining.
Hey, Mom, Dad, come downstairs. Hey, Kathy.
Oh, I wonder if something's happened to Mrs. Quigley.
I'm afraid to go down and look.
Here's your robe. We'd better go.
Hey, come here, quick.
I'm coming. How is she, Bud?
Is she all right?
Hurry up.
Well, where are you, Bud?
Come on, Daddy.
In the dining room.
What's he doing in the dining room?
Look here, look.
It's Mrs. Quigley. She's up.
Look, Father, perched on the flower pot by the window.
Well, I'll be darned.
My bird.
A robin at the window. If we only had a picture of that.
She was sitting right there when I came down.
Here, Mrs. Quigley. Look. Look how tame she is. Jumped right in my finger.
She was sitting right there in the sunshine.
Are we going to keep her? Sure, I'm going to keep her. She's my very own bird.
Kitten, if we keep Mrs. Quigley, we'll have to put her in a cage.
I know.
I suppose we could put the cage by a window where she could look out through the bars. I guess she'd be able to see the other robins hopping from branch to branch in the big oak tree. She could look through the glass and watch all the other birds flying free, singing, building their nests. But I wonder if Mrs. Quigley will be happy just watching.
Gee, I wonder.
Being a child, you should know, kitten. The robins are nature's little children. She made them for the trees and the sky and the lawn in the morning. What do you think?
Open the window, Daddy.
There she goes.
Goodbye, Mrs. Quigley.
That was a nice thing to do, Angel.
Smell that air. You know, this could be the first day of spring.
Well, Saturday afternoon at the White Frame House on Maple Street is the time for doing all the little odd jobs that accumulate during the week. And so on this Saturday afternoon, we find Jim Anderson with hammer and saw, a few pieces of wood, some nails and a stepladder, engaged in some project outside the back porch, like this.
What are you doing, Father?
Building a house.
A house?
What are you making, Dad?
A house.
A house?
Hand me that sack of nails there, will you?
What are you doing, Daddy?
Building a house.
A house?
Hello, dear.
I'm building a house.
Well, good.
Aren't you going to ask me why?
Oh, I can guess, knowing you.
Who is the house for, Daddy?
Tell her, honey.
Angel, I'm quite sure it's to be a summer home for Mr. and Mrs. Quigley. Right, dear?
Oh, you're so clever.
next week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson. Until then, good night and good luck from the makers of Post 40% Bran Flakes, America's largest selling Bran Flakes, and Instant Postum, the drink that's entirely caffeine-free. In our cast were Rhoda Williams as Betty, Dorothy Lovett, Ted Donaldson, and Helen Strom.
Father Knows Best on Tuned to Yesterday from March 26, 1953 on NBC Radio. Probably best remembered from the TV version of the series, Robert Young portrayed Jim Anderson, the only member of the radio cast to move to the TV version. It's an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now it's the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show from October 9th, 1949 on NBC.
Good health to all from Rexall. And now your Rexall family druggist brings you the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. Written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Ruth, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. The Harris family is going through its usual morning routine. The children are getting ready for school, Alice is preparing breakfast, and Phil is admiring himself in the mirror. Suddenly, for the first time, he notices three gray hairs. There's a moment's stunned silence, and then... Help!
Alice, help, come quick. Oh, no, this can't happen to my crowning glory. I can't go on with a tarnished crown. Oh, this is awful.
Oh, for goodness sakes, Phil, what's wrong?
Alice, sit down, dear, sit down. I've got something to tell you, honey. And, well, if you want to leave me after you hear it, you have every right to.
What are you looking so Phil, is there another woman?
I wish there was. No! I mean, I wish it was something that trivial. Alice? Alicia?
Yes.
Honey bun? My hair is turning gray at the temples.
Oh, is that all?
Gad, woman. Don't you understand? I'm prematurely gray.
Prematurely? Let's face it, Phil, you're 40. Lots of people start turning gray when they reach 40.
You didn't.
What was that?
Let me finish. I was going to say you didn't have to remind me.
Did something happen, Daddy?
Are you all right?
No, I'm not all right. I've turned gray. Girls, I hate to tell you this, but your daddy is growing old. Very, very old.
Gee, that's terrible. Mommy... Does that mean you're going to have to take him to the old man's home?
I suppose so. What else can they do with an old man?
But, Mommy, couldn't we keep him here? He won't be a burden. No. We can take turns pushing him around in his wheelchair.
Now, wait a minute. Just a minute. I can still whip the three of you. One at a time.
Phil, stop acting ridiculous over a few gray hairs. It doesn't look bad. As a matter of fact, it makes you look rather distinguished. Doesn't it, girls?
Yes, Daddy. You're starting to look just like Louis Stone.
Louis Stone? Oh, no. The irony of it, today I look like Louis Stone, and only a few short weeks ago I looked exactly like Mickey Rooney.
What's so terrible about a few gray hairs?
Don't you see? First it gets gray, and then you start to lose it. I got to make public appearances. When people see me without hair, what will they say?
Good morning, Baldy.
If I have to lose something, why can't it be him? Now get away from me, Willie. I got enough on my mind. Something awful has happened to me.
Oh, good. Tell me about it.
It's nothing, Willie. He has a few... Wait a minute. I'll bet you won't even notice it. Look at his head. Do you notice anything different about it?
No, it's just as flat as it ever was.
Well, you two got a brother and sister act now? You... Listen, all she wants you to do is to look at my hair.
Your hair? Well, I'll be switched. Hi-ho, Silvertop.
Now, you see, Alice, even little Squint Eye noticed it. I don't dare go out in public like this.
Oh, now, look, Phil, if your few gray hairs bother you so much, why don't you go to a barber shop and have them touch it up a little?
Oh, fine, fine. All I got to do is to let the guys see me in a barber shop and let them see me having my hair dyed. Why, they'd kid the shirt off of me.
Well, why should they, honey? Lots of men have their hair touched up. Jack Benny goes there every week to have his hair done.
Yes, but you don't have to sit there while they're doing it. Let's face it, I don't want them guys to find out about it.
Well, then why don't you go to my beauty parlor? Phil, I have a 10 o'clock appointment with my hairdresser. I'll let you go instead, huh?
You want me to go to a dame's barber shop? Nothing doing. Well, I'd be embarrassed in one of them places.
Oh, you won't be embarrassed. Nobody has to know that you're going, and nobody there knows you.
Don't. Sure. Well, if nobody knows I'm there, and nobody's going to know, but I guess it'll be all right. Anything, I'll go.
All right, good. I'll call the beauty shop and tell them you're coming in my place. And in the meantime, honey, you'd better get started. You only have a half hour to get there.
All right, I'm going to leave right now. I ought to be back in about... I'll get that.
Hi, Curly.
Hello, Frankie. I can't talk to you now. I'm in a hurry.
Where you going?
I got a 10 o'clock appointment at the beauty parlor.
Well, la di da.
I got a good reason to go to the beauty parlor.
Don't apologize. It's perfectly normal for the man of the house to go to a beauty parlor. Go on, you run along.
Look, Frankie.
I'll stay here and talk to Alice while she shaves. Curly, why are you going to the beauty parlor? I know that sounds like a stupid question, but I'm anxious to hear your stupid answer.
If you must know, I'm going because I... Wait a minute, I'll see if you can tell. Now, look at me closely, Frankie.
Mm-hmm.
Look at my profile.
Mm-hmm.
Do you notice anything different?
Yeah. You're starting to get another chin.
I've had two chins for a long time.
I'm talking about the third one. I think it's very attractive the way your chins cascade into your chest.
Never mind, will you?
I imagine when you drool, it looks like a babbling brook.
Look, will you forget about my chins? It's my hair I'm concerned about.
Oh?
Frankie, time has come. I'm getting gray and I'm terribly worried. Feel awful about it.
Well, there's no reason to be depressed. Come on now, chins up, old boy.
Look, Frankie, I'm going to the beauty parlor to have my hair just touched up. Now, will you do me a favor and come with me, will you?
Well, okay, I'll walk over with you.
Thanks, pal. Hey, Alice, I'm going now. See you later. While I'm gone, you may sing.
Thank you, Master. See, he's so good to me.
What you done, what you done, my baby? Look what you done, what you done, my child. Look what you done, my baby? You done gone and told me a lie. You told a lie, I believed you. Look what you done to my heart. You told a lie, I believed you. I was a fool from the start. I thought that you and I would be together. I never dreamed we would part. But
you told a lie. I believed you.
And look what you've done to my heart.
Look what you done, my baby. Look what you done, my child. Look what you done, my baby. You gonna told me a lie.
I thought that you and I would get together. I never dreamed we would part.
But you told a lie, I believed you. And look what you've done to my heart.
Look what you've done, my baby. Look what you've done, my child. Look what you've done, my baby.
Look what you've done.
Say,
pardon me, madam. Madam. Madame.
Yes?
I'm Phil Harris. My wife called and made an appointment for me.
Oh, yes. She said you wanted your curls dyed.
Yes, that's right.
What do you want to become? A brunette, a redhead, or a platinum blonde?
You'll be a wise hairdresser, huh? I don't want to be a brunette or a redhead or a platinum blonde.
No, we were thinking in terms of midnight blue.
madam, I just want these few gray hairs just touched up a bit to match the rest of my hair. And if you don't mind, I don't want anybody else to know about it.
Well, very well. Just step into this booth and I'll call Lucille. She always takes care of Mrs. Harris.
Thank you, and remember, I'm trying to keep this quiet.
Oh, don't worry. I won't tell Lucille who you are. Now, you just lie back in this chair, and I'll put this sheet over your suit and this towel over your face. There. You're completely covered. Now she'll never know who she's waiting on.
How do I look, Renly? Like a sloppy mummy.
All right, now, I'll get Lucille. Lucille?
Yes, Mrs. Matthews?
There's a customer waiting for you in booth 3.
I'll go right in. Oh, it's 10 o'clock. That must be Alice Faye. Oh, I love to do her hair. She's such a nice person. And she's so pretty and young-looking. Wonder how she does it at her age. Oh, well, more power to her. Oh, there you are. Hello, dearie.
Hi, honey.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Miss Faye.
Miss Faye? That is... Oh! You mean Alice on the cheek there.
How are you, Miss Faye?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I better get started on you. You want the usual, Miss Faye?
Mm-hmm.
You sound like you got a cold.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, I hope you'll be able to sing on your radio program Sunday. I'd hate to have to hear your husband sing two songs.
What the heck are the matter with
her?
Why don't you get
Alice. Alice?
Well, what's your
Alice
doing?
Alice?
Good.
Alice?
Don't talk.
Alice. Alice. Take it easy. You'll blow a gasket on your girdle. Lucy, you've upset Miss Faye. She likes to hear her husband sing. In fact, she insists that he sing on the program.
Yeah, I understand. It sort of makes it look as if he's earning his own living.
Luce, never mind the conversation. Just get to work, huh?
All right, yeah. All right. I just want to arrange this sheet around Miss Faye's feet so I... Miss Faye! I hate to tell you this, but your legs are getting awful hairy.
rolling.
Miss Fay, you're a man. Oh, wait till I tell Luella Parsons about this.
Frankie, let's get out of here before this whole joint knows what's. Come on, don't stay with that woman. Get out of here.
After you, dearie. Ladies first, you know.
Oh, come on. Oh, Remy, what am I going to do about dyeing my hair? No matter where I go, it ain't going to work because people are going to recognize me.
Well, why go anyplace? Let's dye it ourselves.
You know, a guy, huh? No, look.
Huh?
You mean, yeah.
Sure we can. We can use a well-known dye. It can't do any harm. You leave it to me. I'll buy the dye. You go home, wash your hair, and get ready.
Okay. Gee whiz, Frankie. I hope the dye works. If it... Well, don't you understand? If it don't work, it's going to ruin my career.
Why should it? You still have your glorious voice.
True. I might even go in for serious singing. I could be another gray-haired baritone like Enzo Pizza.
Some enchanted evening, you may meet a stranger.
Why knock him out of a living, huh? I better stick with my own racket.
People brag, people boast, and consistently drink a toast to a place that a lot of the place at the top of the heap. Are they wrong? Are they right? Is there reason for their delight? I must live in doubt till the day that I find out. Is it true what they say about Dixie? Does that sun really shine all the time? Do them sweet magnolias blossom round everybody's door? Do folks keep eating possum till they can't eat no more? Is it true what they say about Swanee? Is a dream by that stream so sublime? Do they laugh? Do they love like they say in every song? If it's true, that's where I belong. Now, if you like to hear that southern drawl and gals who say I love you all, there ain't no use for you to stall, just get on down to Dixie. Now, if you like that sweet Magnolia Lane and gals as sweet as sugar cane, then hop the nearest choo-choo train, it's all aboard for Dixie. I'm going to pack my shoes and walking stick, my cotton shirt and my banjo pick. If you need me, you can reach me quicker way down south in Dixie, 'cause it's true what they say about Dixie. Uh-huh, that sun really shines all the time. Yes, those folks are really living where Old Man River flows. They live on watermelon and honeysuckle rose. Uh-huh, it's true what they say about Swanee. You can dream by that stream so sublime. Do they laugh? Do they love across the Mason-Dixon line? Yes, it's true. And it's mine, all mine.
Now, look, Remley, before you start mixing that stuff now, let me ask you one question. Are you sure that this dye you bought, you sure that it ain't gonna hurt my hair?
Well, how can it? It's one of the best dyes on the market.
What's the name of it?
All-Purpose Rit. That's wonderful stuff. Yeah, the label says, guaranteed not to harm the most delicate fabric.
Then that's for me. It's not because my hair is made of the most delicate fabrics available.
Well, let's get started. Yeah. Now, I pour the dyes into this boiling
water.
Wait a minute.
Dyes? You got more than one?
Well, I had to. Couldn't get any dye the color of your brown hair, so I bought four different colors. I'm going to mix them.
What colors?
Red, green, chartreuse, and fuchsia.
This makes brown.
Certainement. Now, I pour them in the boiling water. First a little green, now a little red, a dash of chartreuse, a pinch of fuchsia,
a jigger of rum, and butter size of walnut. Nutmeg to taste. What are you trying to do?
Curly, you're not going to drink this.
I ain't going to put it on my head either. It's an awful looking mess.
Well, wait till it boils a little longer. There, that's better. Well, you can bend your head over, Curly. I'm ready to die.
Well, go ahead, I'm too young. Let me tell you something, Remy. I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't going to get my head near that thing.
Curly, it can't hurt you. Just try it.
Try it on somebody else. Why are you picking on me with it?
I wish you had a dog.
We ain't got no dog.
Hi, fellas.
Well, if it ain't little wire hair to bruise you.
Think we ought to?
Sure, his fur looks a little mangy. Come here, Fido. Over on this side, please.
What are you characters up to?
Oh, we're just cooking up a little, a little spaghetti sauce. Oh,
and what spaghetti sauce? Curly, bend over. Smell that.
Gladly.
Yeah.
Oh, this is exquisite. Mmm. Now, Frankie, it's your turn to bend over and smell it.
Okay. Oh, what a heavenly aroma.
Now, I suppose it's my turn to bend over.
If you wanna.
I don't wanna. Ain't gonna get me to taste that stuff.
But, Julius, we don't want you to taste it. All we want you to do is
just... Go soak your head.
He's catching on.
Got the right idea, but the wrong head. Hey, kid, believe me, we don't want you to taste it. All we want you to do is just bend over and see if it smells all right to you.
All right, as long as I don't have to taste it. I don't smell nothing.
You will. Dunk them, Remley.
Hey, Charlie, how long can we hold them under?
The directions say soaking for 5 minutes, but this is just a trial run. Let him up now. We'll see how he looks. Pull him out.
You're boiling my little scalp off.
Stop, even it ain't boiling.
How's his hair look, Curly?
I can't tell yet. Wait till the smoke clears away. Hey, Frankie.
Huh?
Something went wrong. The colors didn't mix.
Oh, that's right, they didn't. His hair is 4 different shades.
Yeah, his head looks like an Argyle sock. Hey, sockhead, come here a minute.
Get away from me, you fiend. Ain't you done enough to make dunking my head in hot spaghetti sauce?
But, Joe...
Why did I tell my old man you tried to make an Italian dinner out of me?
Hey, he was a Halloween job, wasn't he? Sir, we dyed that egghead early, didn't we? You know, come to think of it, his head looked a little bit like a chef's salad.
Yeah. Well, I'm ready for you now, Curly. Just dunk it.
Hold on! You ain't going to get my head in that Technicolor mess. Look, I'm going to go upstairs and see if Alice hasn't got some good dye. I'll be right back in a minute.
Yeah, oh, Curly!
I'm not going to...
Hey, Curly! Oh... I wonder what went wrong. I know I can get the right color for Curly. If I can only find somebody else to test it on.
Mommy, we're home from school. Mommy, where are you? Mommy!
Why not? It can't hurt him. Alice can always wash it out. Oh, girls, come on in the kitchen. Uncle Frankie has a big surprise for you.
Gee, thanks, Uncle Frankie. Our hair looks beautiful.
Yeah, but I still haven't got quite the color I want yet.
I love the color you gave me. It's a bright, flaming red. And mine is a very unusual Kelly green.
That
it's still not right. Red and green ain't exactly what I'm looking for.
Hey, Remley, Alice had a dye and I'm... Remley, who brought them traffic signals into the...
They ain't traffic signals. They're young ladies.
Colorful little midgets, ain't they? What circus they with?
Daddy, it's us.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Remley. What have you done to Phyllis and Alice? Oh, you poor kids. Your hair is such awful colors. What are we going to do?
Change their names to Aurora and Borealis. Well, I guess I've done all I can to help. So long, Curly.
Come back here. If I ever get my hands on you, Remley, you've hurt my children. I'll do something.
Frankie, how could you do anything like that to the children's hair?
I'm sorry, Alice. You know I wouldn't do anything to harm the kids. I was just trying to be helpful.
Never mind, Remley. You're going to wash the girl's hair until you get all that dye out. Now get going.
All right, I'll get it out. Hold still, Phyllis.
Daddy, my head feels tight and my hair's getting awful stiff.
Oh, that's nothing, Curly. That's just from the starch I put in the dye.
Starch?
Yeah, I figured I'd dye their hair and set it at the same time.
The Phil Harris Alice Faye Show on Tuned to Yesterday from October 9th, 1949 from NBC. And that wraps this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. It's been a pleasure.